like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. One thing that's happening at the end of the month that is pretty exciting. I think a lot of people in the city who go to a lot of shows and are interested in not only local bands, but bands from sort of across the region of Western Canada is Breakout West. And this is a big deal. Obviously, it's coming to Winnipeg. It hasn't been here for some time, and we're going to talk about it. So I think the best way to start this off is if my guest wants to introduce himself, give a bit of background about what Breakout West is all about, and we can go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Mike Dawson. I'm the executive director at Breakout West. So Breakout West is sort of this three-tiered amorphous blob. The obvious piece to speak about, I think, and what is always very exciting and the most public-facing side of it is that there is a three-day music festival in which 55 artists each play twice. And that's happening at 11 venues around Winnipeg. One single wristband gets you access to all of those, until you can purchase a wristband for $30. And if you play your cards right, you could see about 110 performances.
That's a lot to fit in 3 days, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a little tricky, but what I'm getting at here is that there's 30-minute performances, and they're staggered on the half hour and the hour at venues nearby. And so folks can catch an artist and then sort of run across the street or run next door and see another set while the next band changes over in the other venue. And so it is really, in the truest sense, I think, music discovery. A term that's maybe been co-opted by AI and streaming services, but it's truly just a chance to see so many amazing artists from across Western Canada as well as the North. And we also have some partners this year with Ed from Montreal, so two artists from Quebec, as well as an artist from each of the Atlantic provinces and a couple artists from Wales as well.
So. Cool. Yeah, I saw that in the list of performers, people from Wales. So I guess, you know, there's also the awards part of this, and I'm sure we'll get into that. And there's also, you know, other conference and resources and things happening for musicians. But it's obviously Western Canada. This is associated with the Western Canada Music Awards. How does the lineup get determined for something like this? I mean, how do you, there's so many bands across these provinces in this part of the country that how do you choose sort of who is best representing each province?
Truly, I mean, and the truth is we could run this festival once a month for a year and still not capture all the artists that are deserving to be a part of it, for sure. And so how it works is that there's a submission intake process where artists sort of put together sort of, you know, their submission in the same way you'd apply for many other festivals. That goes to juries regionally. So we use experts on the ground sort of in each of those, you know, territories, provinces where those artists are coming from, just to make sure that we have the best lens of sort of professionals taking a look at it and being like, these artists will be a great fit. And then we sort of compile it all together into this, this very exciting lineup of, the term emerging artist gets used all the time. And I do think that also underserves it. We're talking sort of world-class artists in some instances. They've blown up in other, you know, markets, and they haven't quite cracked at home or whatever have you. And so it is such an incredible lineup this year. I'm really excited about it, but it's truly all adjudicated. And then we have the honor of presenting those artists. So.
When obviously, you know, like regional diversity as well as musical diversity is part of this. Just looking at the lineup, you have a pretty wide range of styles. And I guess that is kind of representative of the region in general, right? I mean, just the amount of different stuff coming out of Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, up north as well. It's crazy.
That's 100%, you know, and I think that has maybe always been the case and maybe has been less represented. And so, yeah, we're very excited with this lineup. And it's funny, you know, just to look at it and be like, oh, this feels like 20 different genres. And the moment you sort of put it all together as a festival, it just feels right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it is really great. It was, I think sometimes people are surprised. You know, they go to see one thing and the next artist they weren't familiar with will become a new favorite. And yeah, it's really, it's about what is the best representation we can do of sort of artists living and working in the West and the North.
Well, and it's happening in Winnipeg this year. Obviously, it moves from city to city. How did Winnipeg get chosen this time around?
Well, I mean, it sort of operates on a rotational basis. And so we're in Saskatchewan last year. So there are instances in which that shifts a little bit. But I mean, I personally absolutely love and always love Winnipeg. It's played a pretty huge role in my own music discovery journey growing up and, you know, going to Winnipeg for shows. And
yeah.
Loving all the bands from there. And so, I mean, that's not personal bias, but really it hasn't been there for nearly a decade. It was supposed to happen in COVID, sort of deferred of the year, and then it's supposed to happen the next year. And yeah, there was a second wave pandemic that deferred it again. And so it feels very long overdue.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so we're so excited that it's happening. Yeah.
And one of the things you mentioned earlier too about the ability to sort of go across the street and go to a new venue. I did notice that looking at the lineup is that these are all sort of centered, not all in downtown, but within like a fairly quick distance. You could even just hop a bus to some of the farther venues and it would be like a 5-minute ride. Like they're all geographically really close. And that was clearly on purpose.
Yeah, that's absolutely, you know, that's one of our objectives for sure. It's sort of, I mean, you know, as we talked with the festival and you know, that we certainly welcome music fans and, you know, music lovers out to see shows. But a secondary piece of this is that there's a conference that happened, sort of a 3-day conference, in which, you know, folks are artists or industry are interested in participating. And there are literally dozens and dozens of in-depth panel discussions and meetup opportunities as part of this. And so with that, we bring in all sorts of music industry from around the world, you know, people who program festivals, record labels, booking agents, et cetera. And there's an expectation that those folks are going to get on CD's artists as well. So we are looking to, you know, use great spaces where it's a great room to see an artist so they can put their best foot forward, but also to ensure that, you know, someone who books a festival in Belgium, for example, or what have you, is able to get from point A to point B to see all the artists on their checklist. And so it's sort of a twofold perk, I think, to keep the footprint as contained as possible. And in instances where that isn't feasible, we're literally running minivans to get those people back and forth to some of those other spaces. So
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So obviously the festival part for music goers and music fans here or whatever city you're in on a given year is a priority. But yeah, like you said, there's the conferences, the industry stuff, and then there's also the awards. What can you tell me about the awards?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, again, similarly, the awards each year, you know, is this, you know, an undertaking where we're looking to celebrate artists from the West and the North. It's been going, you know, now for on 20 years. And so it's a really exciting part of our event. So there's two pieces I want to talk about this shortly. One of which is that as part of this, you know, each year we get to, there's three specialty awards, for lack of a better word, where we celebrate some folks from Manitoba,
yeah.
You know, their legacies, their impact. And so I'm always excited about that. And that will be announced just before the event. And we've also, as part of the artistic awards, we've added an Afrobeats category this year. And so the feedback and the uptake from that from artists has been really phenomenal. And we're really excited. And I think you spoke to just sort of the growth and development of genres in the West, and particularly, you know, Afrobeats across the prairies. We're seeing this incredible insurgence of amazing talent. And so I'm really excited to have the opportunity to celebrate that one for the first time this year.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I've noticed that too. Even just in Winnipeg, the number of Afrobeats artists is ballooned over the past 2 or 3 years.
For sure. I know, it's so cool and it's so exciting. And so then to speak to it a little bit, so rather than sort of a traditional awards show, you know, where you sort of sequester everyone away for a few hours in uncomfortable seats in the theater, we're kind of hosting what we're calling an awards celebration. So all of those nominees will be recognized and all of the winners will be announced at a 1-hour event from 7 till 8 p.m. at the Park Theater on the Thursday. And audiences who are wristband holders as part of the festival are also welcome and invited to come.
Oh, cool.
Be a part of that and check it out, you know, and celebrate with the winner. So
is that something you've always done in terms of like just that short amount of time for an award ceremony? Because yeah, there is definitely the possibility of having a hours long thing where everyone's sitting there uncomfortably waiting for their category to come up or whatever. But is this like a, obviously it's a deliberate thing, but how long have you been doing these kind of expedited awards?
I mean, it's evolved in different the different versions over the years, for sure. And it's not expedited in that I don't think it's rushed. I think it actually makes it more special and more of a celebration in this format, you know? And so it's sort of trying to have this artist-centric lens. And there's also a reality that the awards happen in tandem with Breakout West, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the artists of Breakout West are award nominees. In fact, it's typically the artists are going into an album cycle who are showcasing. So they're building all this momentum, great things are happening. And then typically the nominees are artists who are just coming out of it. And so that'd be the album from last year. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that all of the nominees are in town for the event.
Sure.
You know? And so it's also part of that is, you know, I think that this building up something that is highly visible online and adds value online, it's equally as important as getting those folks in a room. And so that's sort of the other piece to it.
Well, especially in 2025 too. I mean, that makes complete sense. Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's exactly, you know, and I think our intent certainly isn't to, you know, minimize the awards in any capacity. It's really, how do we make this a really fun, vibrant piece where artists and also, you know, the public can come celebrate with these folks.
Yeah.
Because
for sure. So the I find that Afrobeats thing interesting. You've added this category. How many categories are there for the awards now? I mean, and how often does that change? How often do they get?
Oh yeah, you're gonna make me count them up. I mean, so they're sort of split into two strands. So there are the artistic awards, which are sort of genre specific. There's 19 in there, and then there are an industry side of the awards, which include some folks that are working in, you know, Impacted Live, for example, or visual design. Those other, and so they're sort of split as two pieces, and they're reviewed annually. Certainly, I think that as it stands, I think that we do see an impact when artists are nominated or win that award, and that's something we don't want to minimize either. So I don't think handing out, you know, 100 awards annually adds anything. But I also think that it's really important that we're responsive when we see scenarios like the Afrobeats piece, and that we continue to grow and evolve as you know, the impact of musical genres happens in the West. And so, yeah, so the short answer is we review annually. Changes happen slowly and thoughtfully with an important committee that helps review that with us. So
do you feel like, I mean, just in doing this and in seeing the lineups and who wins the awards and the industry stuff, do you feel like each province or each part of the region has a specific, I don't want to say sound, but a specific feel to it? I mean, if you're listening to music from Manitoba versus Saskatchewan versus BC, is there a Manitoba vibe? Is there a BC vibe? Like, do you get that even regardless of genre? Do you feel some kind of local feeling to music from different parts of the prairies and the West?
You know, to a degree. But I also find that, like, you're infinitely surprised that you don't know what to expect and that it keeps evolving. You know, I do find that there is sort of an aesthetic maybe in each of those places, but I could never put my finger on it, you know, which I think is really great. Like, I don't, you know, I think if you zoom out looking back 10 or 15 years ago, sort of, you know, maybe the lens on Saskatchewan, I'm going to choose Saskatchewan because I grew up there. The lens on it, you know what I mean? It was a bit more sort of roots, folk, country. I mean, the reality is there's so many in every genre, there's such exciting stuff coming out of there that it's real. I don't want to pigeonhole anything, but sometimes there's a shared aesthetic. Sometimes that's because the same bass player, you know, plays in 10 different bands and wears the same shirt, but it's
for sure.
It's also great. So it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I do, in a strange way, I think there are some sort of undercurrents of aesthetics regionally, but genre-wise and creativity, it's what I love is the unpredictability, excitement about it. So
yeah, no, that's a good answer, I think. And I think that that's the inability to kind of put your finger on exactly what it is. I mean, I've done this show for 13 years now, and I ask people a lot what they think the local, it's all Manitoba artists I'm talking to for the most part, and no one can really define it, right? They can define that there is a thing, and that is different from what's happening next door, either province on either side. But yeah, there's some nebulous Manitobanness to it, and I think that probably exists for each of the provinces.
I think it absolutely 100% does, you know, and I think, you know, I sort of noted earlier, but sort of, you know, as a teenager, I go into lots of shows in Winnipeg. It felt different than going to shows in Regina, Saskatoon. They're like, just for whatever reason, there's you know, local artists and also audiences. It's just, there's this certain thing city to city. And so, excuse me, lose my voice. So yeah, part of the fun is bringing all those artists together, right? And see where that takes us. So.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so you mentioned, you know, earlier on that there's artists from not only from the West, but there's you have some from the East and then some from Wales as well. I'm interested in the Wales artists. How did that happen? I mean, that's a very specific country to be bringing in musicians from. What's the connection there?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so there is an event that happens in Wrexham, Wales, which is going on, you know, a decade plus now, possibly longer. So it's been a longstanding partnership between Breakout West and Focus Wales. Partly maybe in that they're sort of also addressing, you know, just a matter of regionalism where those Welsh artists don't necessarily fit in the greater UK and
sure.
You know, they don't think those artists need to move to London or Manchester to pursue what they're doing. And I think, you know, in a certain instance, that's similar in the West and, you know, particularly in the North where artists can build a sustainable career and not have to move to Toronto or Montreal to do that. And so, I mean, there's always been, I think, that sort of shared experience, but they run such a really incredible conference, you know, festival and they have artists from the world. And so we've been presenting artists with our partners from Manitoba Music, Alberta Music, South Music, Music BC for, you know, probably close to a decade now over there as well. And so it really is this reciprocating relationship reach where we each year for the past number of years, we've been able to present a couple artists from Wales. And again, similarly, there's something about it that feels Welsh, but also completely always surprised and really excitable about those artists and what they bring to the festival. So.
For sure. So for people who are, you know, maybe new to the festival or are just hearing about it here and want to find out more information, how do you get a wristband? Where do you find the lineups? Where should people go to find out the details of what's happening?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the easiest piece is breakoutwest.ca. You know, our website has got links to all those pieces. Wristbands are available just through Eventbrite. You can redeem them at any of the venues, you know, starting at the first show. Schedule all those pieces are live on there. Similarly, you know, if it's an artist or, you know, someone working in the music industry who's curious and they're familiar with the conference piece, all those details are also live on the website. You can sort of cool. Take a look and see all the people we have speaking at the conference, which again, you know, folks from Mexico, Colombia, Sweden, Germany, the UK, the list goes on. And so it's a really exciting delegation of music industry folks we've collected this year as well. So.
It's a lot more regionally diverse, I guess, the people involved in the conference part. But obviously, you're still wanting musicians from the West to sort of take advantage of some of the information they're sharing and resources they can help with.
100%. I mean, that's exactly it. You know, I think it's I keep saying this over and over because it's sort of the conference piece is sort of historically as all these are referred to as an industry conference. But I also really truly feel that like maybe artist conference is a better term for it, you know, because there are so many of these people who are like so generous with their time and so knowledgeable, who are just open to sharing best practices and all these pieces for artists. And sometimes, you know, it helps you make better decisions for your career. Sometimes you make that connection that sort of allows you to do, you know, to meet those objectives you have. It's sometimes you just meet an incredible resource that know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And so it's there's just in this digital world, there's nothing that can replicate that face time and that building community. And so that's really what it's all about.
And I imagine that's shifted too over the years, just in terms of how music's consumed and how it's marketed and how it's, you know, everything about it, even going back 10 years has completely changed with the way the internet works and, you know, streaming and everything else.
That's exactly it. I mean, that's, you know, sort of looking at the broad scope of the conference conversations. I mean, of course, there are pieces on AI, you know, and registering all your music for, you know, for collect your streaming royalties. But there's also pieces on, you know, just, you know, navigating touring Western Canada and building those networks. And so it's really everything from, you know, from boots on the ground through to here's all the admin pieces that are integral to ensure you collect that money that's owed to you in this.
Yeah.
Confusing web of digital time. So,
well, yeah. And I think it's even more confusing now too, because so many people are doing everything DIY because, you know, there are tools that can help them do that in terms of they can record on their own. They can put music out or release it online on their own. So that's also, I mean, quite a big shift from, you know, a decade, two decades ago when people were doing things very differently.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that point is exactly why we're seeing this growth and this exciting evolution of all of these genres happening is that it, you know, people now are empowered to do so. And I think they're thus creating some of the most exciting music in the world for sure. Right. And so it's like, anything we can do to help support those artists so that they can get it where they want to go and meet their own objectives. I think that's sort of the underlying, you know, our sort of quietly as our team are sort of hiding behind laptops year round. It's like, how do we ensure that these artists and these businesses meet their own objectives? Not let's steer everyone to do this one single path, because there just isn't a single path these days. And it varies, you know, genre to genre, artist to artist. And so it's really about making those connections and bringing in those experts to share that information. So.
For sure. And this is maybe a question, I don't know if you can answer this, but do you know if anyone has ever done like a full wristband in sense of seeing everyone they can possibly see? Like, is that even doable? Are there people who are diehards
I
enough?
You might be able to see a band per artist and you'd probably need a new pair of sneakers by the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
But there are certainly, you know, I think that is... Well, I think it comes close. I mean, I think certainly if they're 55 artists, there are multiple people who see 40 plus.